the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, here we are. We're in the second half of the year. Some states are fully open, some are not. Some are going through different phases. And like California, we're going back to partial shutdown. Well, what does this mean if you have a job and you're in the workplace? More companies are doing teleworking. So what does that mean for all of us? Let's find out. Joining me on the program is Sherry Perry. She's a workplace culture expert. And Sherry, I'd like to begin with, what is a workplace culture expert?
Hey, that's a great question, Jim. When people ask me that, I say, I think a workplace culture expert is somebody who's been in the business field long enough to make most of the mistakes. So just basically being able to walk into a work environment and quickly identify things that can be adjusted to really make some transformational differences for businesses. So yes, it's very, very fun.
I want to talk about, we've seen a lot of the tech companies from Twitter to Google to Facebook, the only exception being Apple. A lot of the big tech companies are saying, hey, we're going to allow our employees to work from home for the rest of the year. I'd like to talk about some of the pros and cons from working from home. For example, you have flexibility to take care of appointments, errands. Maybe you're a parent. You have some children who are not in school. You can handle the kids. So let's talk about some of the pros and cons, beginning with, let's say, the flexibility of working from home.
You bet. In fact, if you look at a lot of work satisfaction surveys, you'll find that unlike most people think compensation, they would normally think compensation would be right at the tippy top of that list. However, it's not. Flexibility in the workplace environment is one of those things that people really, really enjoy today, especially if, like you said, they have children at home. I was talking to a gentleman the other day and he said, Sherry, you know, the number one reason I love working from home is this morning when I would normally be doing my commute to work, I had breakfast with my daughter. And so there's a lot of benefits, a lot of pros, especially around family.
What about, let's say, physical separation from work? A lot of people develop friendships, camaraderie with people that they work with. There's an interaction in the workplace that obviously you don't get working from home when you're a little bit more isolated. What about, let's say, that separation and camaraderie that comes with the workplace?
Absolutely. One of the most important things for having a well-running business is having a team that just really clicks together. And if they're used to working together in a work environment, separating them can absolutely be a con unless you figure out how to make sure that you use technology, some of the technologies like Zoom, WebEx, some of the different meeting services that you can use in order to keep your team connected. What ends up happening is, a lot of us are wired to be around people. And if we're not around people, we kind of feel a little isolated. And I think, Jim, we found right at the beginning of this whole COVID-19 scenario, that was really a lot of the challenges that people mentioned. It's like, man, I'm here by myself at my house. I'm not around my team. But over time, we did what Americans do. We figured it out. We looked at the technology. We figured out ways to make sure that we were meeting and talking with our team on a weekly basis at a minimum, and we were able to overcome some of those things. So if you're managing a workplace culture and you've got a lot of remote staff members, you're going to want to make sure you take that into consideration when you're thinking about how to keep that team together.
You know, that's one of the comments. We work in the retirement market, and a lot of my clients who retire after a year or two in retirement, they go, you know, one of the things I miss is when I was at work, we'd go out for a drink afterwards or go to somebody's birthday party, some of the social activities that come from work. I want to talk about something in terms of productivity. A lot of people say that, you know, working from home without the interruptions of meetings and chit-chat, somebody walking by and taking up your time, they feel that they're more productive. They're getting more things done. What about that aspect?
I think that if the person is wired like that, then yes, that can be the result. There's also a flip side to that, because sometimes without the structure of a workplace environment, people get easily distracted. And I'll just confess right here on air, I'm one of those people. And I mean, I own the company. And when I go home to work, I've got to be really, really focused and organized and have a nice checklist to make sure that I stay on task, or else it's very, very easy for me to get sidetracked. So people that are trying to figure out, how do I help my team members that may not be naturally wired to just get in and stay absolutely focused until the job is done? How do I help them? And one of the things that they can do is make sure that they have good, clear parameters on what is expected of that staff member when they're working remotely. So clear expectations is great. Another thing that's very, very helpful, Jim, is when you're a remote worker, you want to get up on time. You don't want to meander into your computer at just about the time you're supposed to be there in your pajamas, you know, while you're sipping your first cup of coffee. That's not the way that you would show up to work, and that's probably not the most effective way to show up at home if you're working. You want to get up, you want to do your morning routine, take your shower, have your breakfast, suit up, and get ready to go to work, even if it's just in the room next door.
You know, a lot of communication is being done today with Microsoft Teams or Zoom. What about misreading communication? One of the nice things about meeting face-to-face, you can see body language. You can more accurately judge a person's meaning and the things they say. What about, let's say, miscues from, let's say, online communications?
That, again, great question. I can't remember who said it, but someone once said that the greatest misconception is that we just had a conversation that we both understood. And I don't know if that makes much of a difference if somebody's working remotely or if they're in the office. Communication is a tough deal. We're all wired differently and we all take things a certain way. But when you're used to having all of your conversations in a face-to-face environment and you lose those cues that people can kind of look at your face and go, okay, that didn't work, or, ooh, they're really liking that. When you miss those things, you've got to take it up a notch. And number one, you have to apply grace. And I know it seems odd, but if somebody sends you a text message or a Slack or an email or types in a chat on a Zoom and you take it a certain way, you may want to just take a pause and assume, and that's dangerous sometimes, but assume that the person is not intentionally trying to upset you, and maybe go back and ask for some clarification. Communication is tough even without adding the remote aspect. So making sure that we are using grace and just making sure that we're not too over judgmental, and frankly, that we're not reading between the lines on everything that people send over to us.
You know, another aspect, I guess, from a positive point of view, and I'm speaking from somebody that lives in California, where our major cities are just clogged with traffic jams. I mean, if you get on the freeway, either going to work or coming home from work at the wrong time, what could have been a 20-minute commute can turn into an hour. Our Christmas party last year took me over 2 hours to get there because of traffic. So let's talk about the positive aspect in large cities where you're just not stuck in traffic, not to mention the environmental benefits.
You bet. One thing, if you are still someone who's commuting and you know that there's a possibility that you're going to have this time in the car, man, use that time wisely. My mentor, Zig Ziglar, used to call it Automobile University. So with our tools of Audible and books on tape, CD, you have the ability to literally get a great education to and from work. So you can turn that Christmas party, Jim, into a educational experience to and from, just in case you end up in traffic for 2 hours. And that leads us right back to the dad who had breakfast with his daughter, doesn't it? Instead of being on the freeway, wasting time and gas and everything else, somebody that has the ability to work remotely may have the opportunity to spend some more quality time with their family. So as business leaders, we have to look all the way around that, regardless of whether we have COVID-19 or not, and find out, is there a better way to meet the needs of our company and meet the needs of our team members by offering the remote option for our team?
So if you take a look at this, what have you found in coaching in terms of the ideal office environment? What are probably the biggest pros of, let's say, working at the office?
Well, the biggest pros for working at the office, and you've already touched on them. First of all, you've got your team there. And if I'm working on a big project, and let's say that I'm in the middle of something and I need to get somebody's opinion on something, it's nice to be able to just step out of my office and run down the hall and grab an opinion. I also have that social aspect of being able to have lunch with my friends and be able to have that connection. So I would say that's definitely one of the biggest pros. Another pro is certainly you have more immediate access to all of the equipment, depending upon what the job is, right in your office. And lots of times you've got some clearly lined out communications with your leadership team, so there's less room for a lack of clarity.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we've been teleworking from probably the beginning of March, and we still are today because of what's going on in California. And I would say one of the things that we miss is on the advisory side, getting the input and meeting as a team to solve problems, a little bit more difficult to do that with Zoom because you don't have a whiteboard in front of you. You don't have the computer. Sometimes you can share computer displays and things like that, but I found that to be more of a hassle. You've been doing this for quite some time. What are some of the biggest difficulties you run across with the workplace, getting the workplace coherent, everybody working together as a team, being productive? What are some of the problems that you run into?
I would say probably the biggest challenge that I run into when we're working with companies all across the country is a lack of vision from the leadership position. And it's quite something. You can get people to go on a journey with you anytime if they know where you're going and if they know how they fit into that journey. And many times there's a lack of clarity in where a business leader or owner wants a company or a division to go. And so I would say, just like Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, you want to make sure that you have a big why. And you want to make sure that your team understands and knows that. That's probably the number one. Number two, I would say absolutely, it's making sure that you're hiring the right people. Because so many times we're just in a rush. We used to call it desperation hiring. But we're in a rush and we end up putting really, really good people in the wrong seat and possibly even in the wrong company. So taking the time during the hiring process to make sure that the people you're hiring have core values that are in alignment with your company's mission and vision, and then making sure that you do the necessary work of, you know, properly onboarding them and then making sure that they're in the right seat so that they can get a lot of satisfaction out of helping you as a company. So those are the top two things I would say for companies that they struggle with when they're trying to put together a great workplace culture.
So you talk about the importance of vision so everybody understands the purpose of the company, where they're heading, hiring the right people. Today, because of legal restrictions, it's a little bit more difficult on the hiring side from an employer perspective, Sherry, because there's just simply questions you're not allowed to ask in, let's say, an interview environment. So what do you advise employers to do under those circumstances? Maybe look at social media. In other words, try to get a feel for who this person is and if this person would fit in with the work culture and the vision of the company.
Absolutely. And it is a little tricky. It's almost like you're a bit of a tightrope experience for business owners today. We really have become so worried about being politically correct that we can't ask questions. And you know what? There's probably a good side to that. I would say this, you want to make sure that the questions that you're asking, and you know, there are employment attorneys for these kinds of things, but double check and make sure that you've got some real good, solid questions that are approved by somebody who's, you know, very well aware in your city or state, or, you know, what questions are okay. But you really want to be asking questions based on the person's motivation. You know, why did you leave your last position? What did you love the most about your last position? You know, what challenges you the most as a staff member? How do you like to be managed? Questions that you can delve into the way that person reacts. We just hired a young lady. She actually lives in Chicago. And one of the things that I loved is she said, you know what, I like to be challenged. So when we have a workplace culture that involves, you know, overcoming obstacles and really working together as a team, somebody who loves to be challenged would naturally be a good fit.
Let's talk about the consequences long term of COVID. I think this is one of those events, Sherry, that is going to change forever the economy and business. I mean, how comfortable are you going to feel walking into a movie theater, a concert, or, you know, a football game, but also the workplace environment. I've seen several large companies that are saying, you know what, we're discovering we don't need as much office space. So this is obviously going to affect commercial office space. Technology seems to be advancing more rapidly. Companies are finding, for example, with Zoom, this is going to affect the travel industry. So rather than putting your executives on an airplane, flying them to a, let's say, a meeting or a conference around the country or around the globe, you can just as easily handle that from your office or conference room in a Zoom meeting and save a lot more money.
You bet. And so I think you're absolutely correct. I believe that this whole scenario, it's kind of a little bit of an eye-opener, if you will. So in our company, for an example, we only had remote staff members because they lived far, far away. We never had any of our local team members working remotely. And that's a little different today. And I know that because of the shift and because of finding out that we've been able to be as productive, if not more so, and that we've been able to see some increased employee satisfaction because of it, I know that as a business owner, it's going to be wise for me to look at that and say, how can I change and adapt to meet the needs of today? And that's just natural for any business in any time. So we are always shifting and pivoting and figuring out, how do we offer or provide a product or service in a better way? One of the things I think you'll also see is new industries popping up as a result. I know that there's one company that I'm aware of now that actually goes into your home and helps you set up a workplace environment right in your home. And to my knowledge, that's pretty new. So I think we are going to see a lot of new things. I think companies are going to be looking at the bottom line. They're going to be looking at employee satisfaction. And they're going to be weighing and measuring all of the technology and tools that are available to try to figure out what's the best way to move their company forward.
Yeah, I just keep thinking of things like conferences. Like one of the big events every single year is the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. I had a client that just got back from Vegas a couple of weeks ago, and he said it was so strange walking up and down the boardwalk in Vegas and just not seeing people. Normally, you've got crowds to 2 or 3 in the morning.
You bet. You know, and I also just think, and you know, maybe this is just optimistic on my part, we tend to have a pretty short memory as Americans, Jim. And so to flash back to a time like 9/11, where, you know, all of a sudden our whole foundation of how safe it was to fly in an airplane was absolutely shaken. And you watch that industry rebound. So are there going to be changes? Yes. I think that these kinds of situations absolutely bring forth change. But I also think that as long as we're not operating out of fear, I think that things will maybe not go back to whatever normal was before this. But I do think that we will always need conferences. We will always need those places where we can go and gather. We're probably always going to go want to watch a movie, even though we've got massive screens in our homes now. But I think that we're wired naturally to overcome and hopefully put some of the worst of these kinds of things behind us.
You know, I agree with you, Sherry, because I think as human beings, we are social animals. I can remember when the VCR first came out, they thought this was going to be the end of movies. Then it was the DVD player.
Well, what's a VCR, Jim? I'm just kidding.
Trying to, I think I'm dating myself here. But I
know what it is, and I still have one, darn it.
Yeah, I know, but don't you remember with some of this technology, whether it was the VCR, whether it was the DVD player, this was going to end movies, and then movie theaters adapted. They added dinner menus, they added alcohol, they put in movie theater seats, nicer screens, better sound systems. And I also think you're going to see a change in the retail sector. I mean, Walmart is now competing with Amazon Prime. They're giving discounts on gas. So we're seeing, you know, the businesses that are smart, we're seeing them innovate and change. And I think, you know, there's something about, you know, it's great. Online shopping is convenient. But there's also something about going to the mall, walking into a store, picking up, feeling the merchandise. That's something you just can't get in a virtual environment.
No, you can't. And what you cannot get in a virtual environment is the beauty of building and developing relationships. And so business owners out there that are struggling right now, and there are a lot of them, our basic, our client is the small business owner in America. But man, it's beautiful to see some of the innovations, some of the ways that they're reaching out and helping people, some of the ways that they're linking arms and figuring out how to walk through a storm together. It is just so inspiring. So even though we have this scenario where businesses have been closed down, many of those things are out of their control, the bottom line is personal responsibility. As a business owner and a leader, you have got to figure out how to deal with what is. And it doesn't do any good to be, you know, whining or complaining about what the scenario is if there's part of it you can't fix, because the bottom line is none of us get anywhere from that victim mentality. And so businesses that are going to come through this storm are going to be the ones that say, all right, let's lace it up. Looks like we're going back to figuring it out mode. And that's exactly what they will do. So I'm excited to see what happens as a result.
So when you take a look at this, you mentioned 9/11. I know when that event, it probably took the airlines between 6 months and a year before people were comfortable getting back on an airplane. Maybe this one may take a couple more years. I've talked to people in the travel industry. They're talking about, you know, maybe 2 years or so before people are going to feel comfortable getting on board a cruise ship. It's going to be interesting with this year's NFL season opening up and even a reduced baseball season, what it's going to be like for the players on the field with nobody in the stands. To me, it's just not going to be the same. And I think there's going to be a demand to get back to some of those things that we used to do before COVID.
Yeah, people like things the way they like them. We're kind of creatures of habit. And so we do want those things, but we're also very, very adaptable. So somewhere between, you know, everything's different and everything needs to go back the way it was is probably where we're going to land.
So any parting comments in terms of what you're running into in the workplace with COVID, pros or cons that you would leave us with?
You bet. I think the number one thing I would leave any business leader with today is that your company needs leadership right now more than any other time. Because if you're not talking about what's going on in the world today, if you're, you know, if you're kind of just letting the social media or the news stations handle that conversation for you, your team is going to be super, super scared. So you've got to get up and get dressed every day and go, okay, today I got to make sure I send out a message for my team to cling to. If you've got that vision for the way that you want your company to run, you can absolutely walk through this fire with your team, but man, it's going to take a full measure from a leadership perspective. As my friend and mentor Zig Ziglar used to say, you can have everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. And right now, they'd like to have a little bit of certainty, and you're going to have to help them with that from a leadership perspective.
Anything negative?
Let's see. Did I tell you I'm wired as the glass half full girl?
All right.
Here's what I would say from a negative standpoint. It is possible that your business is going to be absolutely changed, and it could be something totally different than it was before. And I would say that you've got to make sure that you are facing that straight up. You can't, glass half full it. And just think everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be great. You got to dig in. And some of us are going right back to ground zero to figure out, how do I go in and shore up my processes, make sure everything is the way that it needs to be. And this may be a hard work season, but it'll be worth it on the other end, as long as you keep that mission and that vision right ahead of you and bring that team along with you, Jim.
Great advice. Well, listen, Cherry, as we close, if our listeners would like to find out more about the work that you do, how can they do so?
They can visit my website at sherryperry.com, and I'll spell it. It's C-H-E-R-I, P as in passion, E-R-R-Y.com. And I've got some neat tools on there for people, too, as far as keeping the mental part of this picture in a positive focus during this difficult time.
All right. Well, listen, Cherry, great advice. Thanks so much for coming on the program. Stay safe and much success.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
The
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.